Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin.
Welcome back to Wonderland on Points. Today we are here to discuss something that I have been eagerly awaiting ever since we finished part two of London, which was Mary Ellen's recap of her time in London, because we kind of left that episode on a little bit of a cliffhanger. And the cliffhanger is where you headed towards Paris, the city of love. So today we are going to be going over the section of your trip that was your time in France. Very specifically, we're going to be talking through your 2 days in Paris, and then hopefully at the end, we can get into your third day in France a little bit. So, hi, welcome. You ready to start us off where you left off last time?
I am. I am excited. You know, we went to four countries on this trip, and France was my favorite. And I know people are like, well, duh, people love Paris. I didn't actually know that I was going to love Paris. I was a little bit surprised by how much I enjoyed France. So I've been really pumped to share this episode with everybody because it caught me by surprise. I don't know how. It shouldn't have. Paris should not catch anyone by surprise, but I really loved it.
You know, I don't think that's surprising though, because Paris is so hyped up.
Right.
And similar with London. Like, I went into London thinking, I'm probably going to love the countryside. I don't know how much I'm going to like London. It's probably going to just be like every other big city. Not the case. Not how I felt at all. And I assume going into Paris is a similar mindset. You're like, everybody goes to Paris. It's so boring.
Well, you hear, you know, you do hear the bad things, right? You hear French people hate American, you know, the kind of stereotypical things. You hear beware of pickpockets. And I just really didn't expect to love it, but it was cleaner than I expected. I don't know why I thought it was going to be so dirty. A lot of cities are dirty. At least the areas that we were in felt pretty clean. It did not feel overcrowded. I know there's a lot of tourism, especially when I went, which was the very end of July, beginning of August, but it didn't feel overrun with tourism, at least in the places. I keep thinking there has to be a caveat because surely it can't be as lovely and wonderful as it was, but we thought it was great.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to dig into it. So let's just start with getting there, right? So you came over from London on a train. So walk everybody through, what was that like? What did it cost? This is a little bit different than just hopping on a metro train, because you're going in between countries. So I think you talked a little bit in the last episode about how you can't just roll up and hop on, but I think we should touch on that one more time, just in case nobody listened last time, because it's important.
Yes. So we took the Eurostar train from London over to Paris. It takes about 2 hours, 15 minutes. That's it to get from London to Paris, which is incredible. You do go under the English Channel. You can't see anything. And honestly, you are not in the tunnel for that long. I was kind of surprised. I was thinking there'd be more time that we were underground, and you really aren't. It goes by very quickly. Our 3-year-old was free. So total for our family for 4 tickets, it was $278. Keep that in your mind. You could also fly from London to Paris. We decided the train was a better fit for us. We were going to take the train a lot. We didn't want to deal with the hassle of airports. We thought that might take a little longer, Now, I did mention at the end of that London episode that you still have to go through security. They still recommend you be there 2 hours early, similar to when you go to an airport, because they do have customs. They check your passport. The UK is not a part of the EU anymore. So when you go from France to Belgium to Amsterdam, all those places, you don't really have to have those passport checks anymore. But leaving London, you do. So we rode the Eurostar train. It was fantastic. Highly recommend. Super easy.
Does it have pretty views, or is it just kind of mid?
I think just kind of mid. I mean, it really, there's a little bit of countryside. There wasn't anything spectacular. Then you go underground for the English Channel. You pop back up and you're like, oh, we're in France now. Cool. But there was not a whole lot to see.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. So you get to Paris. And before we dig into where you stayed, maybe talk a little bit about how you got around the city. And we can just cover that right at the top. I think it's a little bit different than the route that we used in England, which is loading a card and just tapping wherever you go.
Yeah, this is the one downside with France and with Paris is they haven't quite got that easy step of you just tap your Apple Wallet and goes directly on your credit card. You know, New York City is like that now. London is like that now. Paris needs to get with the program there. So for Paris, it still wasn't all that hard. If you have an iPhone, which I do, you go to your Apple Wallet. There is a little plus sign there. You add a transit card, and that will pull up transit cards for cities all over the world. And Paris is one of the choices. So then you just add that, and you load up money onto that transit card. So it's a little more complicated because you need to think of how much do I need to put on this versus when you just tap and it goes straight to your credit card. You don't actually have to think of how much money I need to load onto a transit card. But we didn't have to get a physical transit card. It was still all through our Apple Wallet. Pretty easy. There, the toddler was free. We did have to pay for our 10-year-old and, of course, the 12-year-old. So just the little one. I think it's under 3, could be under 4. I don't know exactly if it's 4-year-olds still are included in the free or if it's just 3 and under. But didn't have to pay for the little one.
Did you find that the Paris Metro was more expensive than the tube? I mean, you already had to pay for an extra child that you didn't have to pay for in London, since the middle one was free in London as well. So what did you find in terms of just like the rates and how much you spent on transportation overall?
I have to be honest, you're not going to like this answer, but I have no idea how much the Metro costs per ride. I did not look into that. We just knew that we made the decision that around France and for this whole Europe trip, we did not rent a car. We were just going to take buses, take trains, make it easy for ourselves and not rent a car and go across different countries with a rental. So I don't know. I mean, in general, public transportation is pretty affordable. So we rode buses and trains with public transportation. We didn't take Ubers. We didn't take taxis, anything like that. Just stuck to the public transportation. It was fine.
I have a very important question.
Okay,
I'm ready. Did you have money left over on a transit card at the end, or did you estimate perfectly? Because that would make me insane.
I think I have one ride on mine, but I don't think it's because we didn't take the ride. I think it's because sometimes either the tap didn't work or they didn't actually make me pay for the 10-year-old or something like that. I think I probably paid for the rides that we took, but I did end up with a little extra on a card for next time. So I don't know how that happened. It is what it is.
I feel crazy about preloading. Nothing makes me crazier than the idea of having some leftover and not coming back to France for a minute. Oh, I hate it. But that's just personal
it's a reason
OCD
to go back
problem.
To spend my $1.25 or whatever it is for riding a bus in France.
Amazing. Okay, so you arrive in Paris. It's morning when you arrive. So where do you go next? What do you do? Where are you staying?
Yes, we arrived on the train about 10:30 in the morning. So we did not pay, you know, in London, we used a like nanny bags or stash or somewhere to leave our bags. We decided to go ahead and get over to our hotel, which was the Hyatt Regency Paris Etoile. We dropped our bags there because it was so early. We couldn't quite get into our hotel rooms yet. However, I had booked Club Access rooms. They were 24,000 points a night. I didn't use a Club Access award. Instead, I booked straight into a Club Access room. I would have used an award. I had an award. But when I was looking, the availability for this hotel, it's very popular. Sometimes the room type you want is not available. So I had to book into Club Access awards. And that was fine. It was still just 24,000 points a night per room. I did have to book two rooms, but they allowed us to go ahead and access the club right when we got there, even though we couldn't go into our room yet. I also emailed ahead of time to let them know, hey, I have a kid coming, you know, children, multiple children. I have two rooms. They made sure that our rooms were adjoining. That was not a problem at all. I think maybe because I emailed, they also gave me one of the perks of this hotel from the club in the morning, or if you're there enjoying the hors d'oeuvres in the evening, you can see the Eiffel Tower. There's a nice view from the club. But not every room, I guess, has that view, but they did put us on the side of the hotel that gave us the beautiful view of the Eiffel Tower.
So nice.
We'll get into the Eiffel Tower. We were there in person. We were on the Eiffel Tower. It was amazing. But when we got back to our room late that evening, we could watch it sparkling in the distance. I actually FaceTimed you, didn't I?
You tried to call me and I missed the call. And when I called you right back, the sparkling was over. So
sad. I tried.
You tried. But you did try.
It was delightful. The hotel, I have to say, they were amazing. When I checked in, they were so kind. Someone came to greet me because I had emailed the general manager, like we encourage you to do. And they were like, what are you doing with your toddler today? Let me give you some recommendations. We already had a schedule, so I pretty much knew what I was doing. But I will say part of our schedule had my husband and the older kids breaking off from me, and I was going to be with just the toddler. So she was trying to give me some good ideas of things to do, and I really appreciated their customer service. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, I mean, that really, really matters. That takes your trip to the next level for sure. And honestly, booking into a club access room in this kind of scenario in a city where food can add up really fast, you've got five people that you're trying to feed. Man, I was just talking with one of our listeners about whether or not she should book into a club access room to take her family of four to the Manchester Grand Hyatt in San Diego. And I said, girl, yes. Because that food, it's not just breakfast. It's also that early dinner option that they have. It's technically not called a dinner, but it's a dinner. Like that will help you cut way back on food costs. And so I would gladly use my points to cut the costs out of the budget in that way. How was the food in the club?
It was great.
I mean, it's France.
I mean, this is France. So my son came to realize, you know, the little pastries that have the chocolate inside. I don't know their fancy name or real name, but they're everywhere there. And he loved them. Of course, they had those in there. My daughter ate so many croissants. Who could even count? We love a club access breakfast. They love the cappuccino machine. Of course, they don't drink any kind of coffee, but if they can get hot chocolate out of one of those fancy machines, oh my gosh, they will get, I have to cut them off, okay? I have to cut them off as if it's an alcoholic beverage because they cannot stop hitting up the hot chocolate machine.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Amazing. Okay, so after you dropped your bags, your room was not ready yet. So naturally, you got to go out and do some stuff. What did you do next?
We were able to walk from the hotel ultimately up to the Arc de Triomphe. We grabbed some baguettes along the way, which of course felt that's really how we knew we were in Paris.
Quintessentially French.
Yes.
Yes.
And baguettes are very cheap. I mean, they're like $1.25 or something. And then my son just straight ate it like it was a corn dog or a hot dog or something. In fact, I took a video, I'm pretty sure, of my kids sword fighting with their baguettes.
You did.
On their way. So that's how we roll. I loved that we could just walk to the Arc. I recommend everyone wants to visit that, wants to see that. There's cars going all around it, lots of people the closer you get to it. So stop and take pictures a little further out. Give yourself a little distance. Your pictures will probably come out a little cuter, a little less people in the pictures. Less people-y is always a good thing. And then if you want to go up to the Arc real close or on the other side of it, know that there is a walkway underneath. You do not need to be trying to cross that busy road. It's like a giant roundabout. You have no business crossing that. You can walk underneath it.
Oh, that's a great tip. Look at you with the insider scoop. Okay, so next you did the classic Mary Ellen move, which is let's find a playground for our kids. So where did you head? What is your playground recommendation for your kids to get out some of their energy from sitting on a train all morning?
Yes. So from the Arc, we did hop on the metro. We went down, I don't know how many stops, not many, to the Jardin des Tuileries. And I will tell you guys that I took French in high school and don't remember any, clearly. So I'm going to keep saying these names as if I do, but obviously we know that I don't. We enjoyed a small playground there. That is a beautiful park. All of the parks, what I loved in Paris, all of the parks have these trees that are exactly the right size so that you can walk underneath them. And the parks are lined with these trees that provide cover, shade from the sun, but they're all perfectly somehow the right height and manicured. I don't know how to describe it, but they are lovely. I could spend all day walking through these parks, sitting in these parks, eating bread and pastries and do nothing else. But we did walk through one of those parks. We found a small playground. This particular park also has a carousel that you can pay to ride for just a few dollars, has a little trampoline area where there's all these in-ground trampolines that kids can do. It's closed off by a little gate and you pay a few dollars and you do it. I'm also saying dollars, you know, whatever.
We all know their
currency. We didn't do any of the paid activities. We just enjoyed the playground. It wasn't the fanciest playground. It was held nothing to the playgrounds of London. London did have better playgrounds, I will say, than Paris, at least the ones we found. But it was a good option. The kids got some energy out. And again, the park was so beautiful that all I wanted to do was just sit on the bench and enjoy my surroundings.
That sounds so amazing. You know how we were talking about going to France for my birthday? I looked up the weather in France in January and immediately decided that we might have to celebrate my birthday later.
Oh, no.
There will be no park benches and picnics and baguettes in France in January. Well, I do not love having a birthday at the time of year when my birthday falls. Just saying. Aww. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Well, it's okay. Well, we can still do it.
I will go anywhere. If I need a pretty red scarf and cute hat, then that'll be a whole nother delightful side of Paris.
Yeah, it looks like it's not fall weather. It looks like it's straight up just frigid. I'm not sure that's the 35th birthday I want for myself. I don't know.
Well, whatever you want.
I do love a winter vacation. Everybody knows I like to go weird places in the off season.
It's but true, I feel miss. Like I go to Minnesota in the winter.
I know. But France, when I picture it, it is flowery and green.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm just not sure that I want my first time experiencing France particularly to be in the winter.
I do love a winter adventure. Experience that France in your mind. I can totally understand that.
Yes. Anyways, side note. So after this, you walked towards the Louvre and you ended up seeing something that when I was reading the notes about it, I was like, what is this? Do people like crawl inside it? Is it a big metal black pot? Then I kept reading and you had a good description of what it was. But tell everybody about this because it's not something that's always there. It's a temporary place that people can see and experience, it looks like.
Yeah, so right there at the end of the Jardin des Tuileries, there is the, at least this summer and for the next two summers, it's the only little piece left over from the Olympics. It's the Olympic cauldron. It is on fire. You see the flames going from like the Olympic torch, I guess. And it is like a hot air balloon. So it goes up into the sky and looks like a hot air balloon at times, I think in the evening, and then it comes back down. They are only bringing it out for the summertime for three summers. I don't know why, but it's cool looking and it is nice. We saw it on the ground and then later in the day from a distance, I think when maybe even when we were on the Eiffel Tower, we saw it up in the sky and we were like, oh, wow, that thing goes up in the air. I don't think we even realized that when we were up close right against it. But it's right in the middle of gorgeous gardens, right by the Louvre. If you're going to the Louvre, you have to see it. I mean, it is right there. You need to go through that city park anyway, because it's so beautiful and charming. So you will just see it there. I love the Olympics. I am an Olympics person. So that was pretty cool. I didn't go to France when the Olympics were there in Paris. The rings are no longer on the Eiffel Tower, but it was really cool to get to see the Olympic cauldron at least.
Yeah, for sure. I had never heard of this. It's weird how many reels I see on a regular basis from Paris. And so I figured this would be something that people would highlight as a, this is something you should go see. It's very interesting. So as I was reading this, I'm of course picturing like a witch's cauldron, you know, from Halloween. And I was just, it took me a second to visualize. In fact, I'm going to get off and go look it up so I can see what it actually looks like. But it does sound like a very neat thing to catch if you manage to make it there before they are no longer featuring it.
Yep. Next, you got two summers, everybody.
Okay. Okay. So next, this is where you decided to make what I think is an absolute stroke of genius decision, which is you did not say, oh, we're family. We have to stay together all the time and do all the same activities. You were like, no, I don't really want to do this activity. And also the toddler doesn't want to do this activity. What a nightmare. Let's do two different things. Genius, I must say.
I stand by the decision. I was very happy with it. I think everybody was happy with their choices that day, and that was good. It was also good because, so my husband and my big kids wanted to go to the Louvre. They wanted to see Mona Lisa. I, on Instagram, have seen what the room looks like that the Mona Lisa is in, and it looks like a little postage stamp at the end of a room that is packed with people. No. I just, you know, I live in D.C., there are incredible museums here that are free, that you can go in at any time, that aren't that crowded. I can see, I guess I'm spoiled in that way, that if I truly want to go see a museum with famous artists, I can go do that in DC. So I had no interest in going into the Louvre. I don't know why. I just was like, you know what? I'm not taking a toddler in there. We got the stroller. I said, how about this? You guys go without me. The stroller, I really felt like, and she did, the toddler would fall asleep in the stroller. She was going to need a nap. We did not have time to go back to hotels for her to get a nap. This was going to be a particularly long day because we had tickets to the Eiffel Tower at sunset, which in the summertime means we were going to be on the Eiffel Tower at 9 p.m. We left London that morning at about 6 a.m., to catch our train. So this was probably one of the longest days we had on our itinerary. This activity, I said, nope, we're going to have a little nap time for the toddler. I am going to have a quiet time where my big kids and my biggest kid of all, my husband, are off doing something else. And I can just stroll around Paris at my leisure for like 2 hours and do whatever I want to do. It was fantastic. There is a bunch of malls, shopping stores. There's, again, the garden we had walked through, that city park. There's plenty to do to just, I just wanted to be in Paris, not have my kids being loud around me and just kind of soak it in. And I was able to do that. I was a little nervous splitting up. You know, anytime you're in another country, the family is splitting up from each other. That can be a little nerve-wracking. But ultimately, it was a great decision. If I highly recommend it. We'll look at the list of activities for Paris. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? How can we make it work that everybody gets to do at least something that they are super interested in? And not everybody, don't cave to the pressure that everyone has to do the same thing.
I would be 100% in the same boat as you. I'm sorry. I've seen it online. I've seen a picture of the Mona Lisa much clearer than I would see it if I actually got in that room and saw it postage stamp size at a distance. That does nothing for me. I can appreciate good art through the interwebs. I would much rather spend my time outside in Paris. So I love that you did this. The next thing that you did is you really packed a lot into this day. You went on a 1-hour discovery cruise. Tell us a little bit about that and also what you guys paid for that for everyone.
Yes. So en route, so we decided to meet back up after they got out of the Louvre. We met at a little outdoor cafe that had crepes. So we thought, let's sit down, let's have some crepes in Paris, and then we will continue on to the, this is the name of the port, Vendettes du Pont-Neuf. And we got a Discovery cruise from there, a one-hour Discovery cruise. We went up and down the Seine. We go all the way up. You go up to where the Eiffel Tower is so you can get great pictures of the Eiffel Tower, of your family with the Eiffel Tower from the river so there aren't just people all around you. And then it goes down the other way and you see Notre Dame. There was a tour guide who was speaking on a microphone for everybody on the boat to hear. At the same time, it was not a terribly expensive activity. For our whole family, it was $45.76. Pretty sure the little one was probably free, so that was probably for four tickets, I'm guessing. Don't know 100%. I just know the total cost for our family of five was $45.76. And considering it was like a narrated tour, I thought that was really good.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. That's a great price. And it's such, I think I'm now like a lifelong, got to see any city that you can from the river side of things. Like after doing it in London and then hearing about it in Paris, I just think that that's such a fun way to see more of the city, especially when you're only there for a short amount of time. But what cracks me up about this river cruise is your story and your great Instagram post about a purchase that you had to make that you didn't want to, because it turns out it's not actually super warm necessarily in July and August.
Yes. So supposedly in London and Paris and Amsterdam, Belgium, you know, in July and August, it could be very hot. But also it could be chilly. And almost every single day of our trip, at least in the morning and evening, we were chilly. We were cold in London. We put off buying any kind of sweatshirts. I would pack so small and so tight for this trip because we were going to four countries in a small amount of time. I was like, we are only taking the essentials. I even thought about a sweatshirt when we were leaving the house. I was like, oh, maybe I should pack a sweatshirt for everybody. And my husband was like, no, we are, you know, we are packing light. We can't take everything. And so I didn't. And as a result, I spent about $150 on a tourist sweatshirt for everybody in the family, except for my husband, because on principle, he was not going to wear a sweatshirt after he said, we don't need sweatshirts. We are going to get right back to today's episode, but we want to take a minute and tell you about Card Pointers, because they have some really exciting stuff going on. I love a new version and update, and Card Pointers is always looking to make their app better. You're going to want to stay tuned because good things are coming in the Card Pointers world.
You guys already know that we love Card Pointers for its best card wizard, its auto adding offers, its ability to track and stay on top of your 524, and so many other things. But when these new versions come out, it gets particularly exciting for me to see what they're going to come out with next. And what's so fun is that when you sign up at that lifetime rate rather than the annual, you are never seeing an increase in price, even though you're seeing an increase in app. It's the best feeling in the world to know that you paid for it literally one time. And as it gets better and better and more sophisticated and does more things, you're still locked in for life.
Twice this past year, they were Apple's app of the day, which is actually really hard to do. So you know that even the big dogs over at Apple are recognizing the great things that Card Pointers is doing and just how much money it can save you. You know, so Card Pointers, if you're new to it, when you log into your Amex account or your Chase account, it adds all of the offers to your account. And then if you shop at one of the stores that has an offer, it will automatically come up and save you money. Like right now I have, there's some really big ones and then there's little ones too. Like right now I have one for McDonald's on my Amex gold card that Card Pointers activated for me. And if I spend $15 or more feeding my kids before we go to sports games at McDonald's, it gives me $5 back. It is awesome because keeping track of the offers individually is too hard. It's too much.
It really is. The surprise offers are my absolute favorite. Just to give you guys a little picture, since we started working with card pointers and I had them start auto-adding offers for the first time to my card, I have $93 in saved offers, which is well over half of the cost of a lifetime membership. And it's like this thing's basically already paying for itself without any effort. Imagine if I actually took the time to be looking at what offers I had and using those. I can't even imagine. But the beautiful thing about it is I don't have to. It adds it for me. And then if I happen to trigger an offer, there it is, free cash in my pocket. So even for that alone, card pointers is worth it. But it does a myriad of other things. And that is why we are so excited that they partner with us. And that is why we are so excited to offer you guys a 30% discount off of the cost, whether it be annual or lifetime.
Go to the link in the show notes, click through that, you will get 30% off. And in the long run, I am so excited. I want to hear stories from you about how much money this saves you. They have a 524 tracker built in. So as you get new cards, you can add them to card pointers and it will help you keep up with all of your inquiries and the new cards that you're getting so that you can keep organized. Because there is a lot to this points and miles. And the deeper you get into it, the more it takes some organization. And thankfully, card pointers does a lot of that hard work for us.
Yeah. And it also helps me stay on top of the credits that my individual cards have. So I'm remembering to use my food credits, my coffee credits, all of those things. Guys, card pointers literally changes the game for points and miles people. And we want you to love them as much as we do. So again, we are so excited to offer you the link in our show notes. Head over there, try it out. Let us know what you think in the Facebook group. And now we will get back to the episode.
So me and the kids, I had taken so much time and attention to finding the perfect outfits for our family for this trip. I had coordinating dresses and outfits every single day for my little girls because my oldest, she's 10. She's about to age out of that matching with her sister. I had all this figured out. I had a spreadsheet mainly because I wanted to stay organized for packing reasons. I didn't want to have to unpack every single suitcase at every single stop. So yeah. I was hyper organized just so that I could only open one suitcase for like 3 days. And then that suitcase is done. And then only open one suitcase for the next 3 days. So I made that very expensive mistake of not going with my gut and bringing a sweatshirt for everybody. Tourist sweatshirts are expensive, cost about $150. And that is now our pretty much only souvenirs from this trip. It is a good souvenir, although we had to wear that same sweatshirt for every single day for the rest of our trip. They were so dirty and gross by the time we got home that I don't even know that we can get all the stains out. They're like not even a nice souvenir because we used them to death.
Oh my gosh, it's so sad, but also great story. Maybe someday you can get them made into a quilt. You know how people like do t-shirt quilts? You can just
have one of those.
Tourist sweatshirt quilt.
Love that.
Right? I'm a genius. Talk to us a little bit about what it costs and also the process of getting the tickets.
So Eiffel Tower tickets sell out. You need to do your research here. You do need to go online well ahead of time, figure out how far in advance the tickets release. I do have a highlight bubble on my Instagram about this. If you go to the Paris highlight bubble, I talk about getting the Eiffel Tower tickets. It is no small feat. I mean, we practiced before they were going to release. We would go to the website to try to get them. We weren't going to go all the way through with getting them, but kind of try to get them for a date before our trip, just to see if we could, what it took, what we needed to do. I had family in other states trying to get them. Like, we all logged in at that moment to try to get the tickets. We were really hoping for near sunset so that we could go up there in the daytime, see the view in the daytime, but then also kind of see sunset in the evening view once the lights come on everywhere. That was the goal. We did achieve that. It was not easy. I'm talking about the website shuts down. My husband was doing it. I was doing it on a phone, on a laptop. It kept freezing. It kept shutting down. You have to go back in. It would kind of keep my progress. So when I would go back in, I would be further along than I was. In the end, I got tickets. I was the winner. I was pretty proud of that. I beat my husband. I beat our friends in other locations, and we got the tickets. They were $103 for our family of five, which We went to the very top of the Eiffel Tower. It really isn't. It's a cool experience, crazy. Like, I mean, you could do it more than once in your lifetime, but it's kind of one of those big once in a lifetime things. We're going to the tip top of the Eiffel Tower, take the elevators up to the top. You can see 360-degree views. You go all the way around. I could see the hotel in the distance. I could see we would point out all the landmarks in the distance. It was gorgeous. It's such a special thing. I definitely recommend it. One problem, we had the stroller. And when you are going through the line and up into the Eiffel Tower, it is very difficult to have a stroller. That was one of the only times that I was like, man, I wish we didn't have this stroller. It was a little complicated, but we did it and we made it.
They have no kind of like stroller parking area where you can leave it, that it's safe, or you just have to.
I don't know. We should have looked into that more. We took it with us literally up to the top of the tower. I mean, we had it folded up, but it was a big jogging stroller. So it was big. And then at one point at the viewing platform, we left it. We found a spot, tucked it away under the stairs, and we thought, we'll leave it right here while we walk around the viewing platform. I came back, it was gone. I was like, Jared, you know, you hear of all the pickpocketing in Paris, and you're like, someone stole our stroller. Who would steal our stroller? Oh my gosh, the stroller is
from
gone.
From the top of the Eiffel Tower.
No, it was just the people, kind of like the see something, say something, can't leave your bag unattended in an airport. They yelled at me. They were so mad that I left that stroller unattended. I mean, I had closed it up, tucked it away. Like, it was in no one's way. But you can't leave anything. And I guess the Eiffel Tower, that would be, I can see where they really need safety there, right? If somebody were to do something horrible, you know, we don't want to think about that. But so I get it. But I didn't mean to get in trouble. I was like, oh, Jared, we're going to get kicked out of the Eiffel Tower because of this
stroller.
What
a story.
Oh, well.
It's for the gram. For the gram. Okay, well, that's amazing. It just, so magical. I bet your kids will remember it forever. Fast forward to day two, because otherwise we're going to run out of time. So maybe rather than do like piece by piece for day two, you just kind of run us through your day two.
Yes. So the activities we did on day two, my kids' favorite thing, probably the favorite thing that they did the whole trip almost, was we went to Luxembourg Gardens in Paris. I cannot recommend this enough. You have to do this, especially if you have small kids. But even if you don't, if you're going with girlfriends for a girls' trip, if it's a couples' trip, it is so stunningly beautiful. If you have a nice camera, bring it. Take family photos there. It's the perfect backdrop. It is so beautiful in the summertime. They have a fountain there and a little pond in the middle in front of this gorgeous, I don't even know what the building is, but it's so pretty. They have sailboats that you can rent for just a few dollars. You rent them for 30 minutes. It's a very cheap, family-friendly activity. And each sailboat has a different country on it. So you could have you could rent multiple sailboats for different kids, and everybody remembers which there's only one per country, and the whole little fountain pond is filled with these sailboats, and they give you this stick and you can kind of guide your sailboat around. It's beautiful.
Magical.
My kids loved it. They were laughing. They were running. I got a picture of all three of my kids together, smiling happily, not at the camera, at the little sailboat. And I was like, this is the moment. This is that moment that you dream of. And you're like, I'm going to take my kids on vacation to Paris and they're going to be so happy. This was that moment.
That was it. You got it.
Yeah. They weren't mad at me that I was taking a picture. They were just truly happy enjoying these sailboats in Luxembourg Gardens. So please do that. In that same garden, there is a fantastic family playground. It does cost a little bit to go in. They have like a turnstile. But in the same, you know, as sometimes I'm like, oh, you pay money for a playground, what? Because, you know, I love a free playground. But it's completely fenced in. So if you have a kid who's a runner that you're concerned that they could wander off, it's all fenced in. The only adults in there are with kids. And it has great things. I mean, for all ages. My 12-year-old was happy. The 3-year-old was happy. Highly recommended as well. You could just spend a whole day there. You could have a picnic. There is some food for sale. You could spend a lot longer period of time in Luxembourg Gardens than we did.
It sounds amazing. It sounds so beautiful.
Yeah, if you and I go, we are going back there and we're doing a whole photo session.
Heck yes. Flytographer, sponsor this podcast. So next you split again. It sounds like, was this boys and girls?
It was. So my daughter, my 10-year-old, loves baking classes, loves baking shows on TV. There has not been a cooking show on TV that she hasn't watched. She just eats that stuff up. We do little cooking classes at our local YMCA. I hate cooking. I think I've mentioned this before on the show. I don't like baking. I don't like cooking. And so I sometimes feel like I'm a horrible mom for her because she would just love to have a mom who loves being in the kitchen with her and teaches her everything she knows. There's nothing she can learn from me. So for her birthday, we surprised her with a macaron making class in Paris, because that's what you do when you go to Paris. You want to eat little macarons. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But this was shocking to me. Like when I saw what you posted on your stories about this, first of all, maybe I just never knew what the ingredients of macarons are, or is this uncommon, the ingredient that they chose to use? Like I had not a clue, and it blew my mind. And it was also quite sad for the cost of this class. I'll let you tell the story.
I went from feeling like the greatest mom in the world that I got this gift for her that she was going to love to feeling like the worst mom in the world, because we got there and I knew that sometimes the filling of these can contain nuts. So when we got there, I was like, oh, she can't have nuts. She was like, oh no. One of the fillings they had nuts. We could just, you know, omit that. She was making these herself. So she would choose the ones that the other fillings, that was fine. What I didn't know is that all of them, the proper way to make macarons is with almond flour. And that the woman, I was like, can we just sub it for some regular flour? And she looked at me like I was crazy. Absolutely not. Can you sub it for regular flour? The proper and official way to make it is almond flour. So my sweet daughter, who is allergic to tree nuts, we actually thought at this point that almonds might be okay. We were going to do a trial with the allergist, you know, but we haven't. So she was very cautious. She said, I am not trying it here. I did have an EpiPen with me, so at least I had that to my credit. But I just felt horrible that she was so excited about this class. Cost about $170, but this was a super special thing. Paid for it through TripAdvisor so I could earn cash back through Rakuten, or I might have done it actually through the Capital One offers. I think that's what I did this one through. So I think I got 20% back. I got a really good percentage back. Wow. But this was supposed to be her special birthday thing, and she made all these lovely macaroons, and then she was not able to eat any of them.
That is so sad. And I never, ever knew that macarons were made with almond flour. Had no idea. I don't typically like things that are made with almond flour. They have a weird taste to me. And I don't actually particularly like macarons because I'm not a dessert person. But I've never tasted one and thought, almond flour. Like never did that occur to me.
I had no clue. I should have looked into it more. That was completely on me. So heads up if you have a tree nut allergy in your family. I will say, to the credit of the people who did this class, they did a great job. It was wonderful. She had a lot of fun. She just was sad that she couldn't eat them at the end. My three-year-old came with us. We did not pay for the three-year-old. They said, oh, well, she can kind of participate if she wants. She full-on participated. I mean, she had an apron too. She did the filling. She did everything that the 10-year-old did. We split the ingredients a little bit. So there was another family there that had two young girls. They had paid for both girls. So they made twice as many as we did. My girls kind of had to share. 10-year-old didn't love that in the end. But I was shocked by how much the three-year-old was able to do, and thankful that I didn't have to pay for her.
No kidding. That would have been wild. Did she get to eat them, though?
She did eat them. Yeah, she did eat them.
Oh, that's so sad.
She ate them. I bought the 10-year-old a yummy treat after that. Don't worry. She got plenty of sweets. Girlfriend doesn't miss out on sweets. So she was fine.
So you guys were doing this amazing girls class. What were the boys up to during that time?
Yeah, my husband and son opted to not be a part of this class at all, was not interesting to them. So again, we said, great, we will just split up and you guys go do something else. My son loves soccer, international soccer. So they went to PSG Stadium, which is one of the places where one of the famous French teams play. I don't claim to know much about that. They had a great time. They sent me all these pictures from the stadium. He bought a jersey. They loved it. They truly loved it, had a great time. And then we met back up on top of the Galeries Lafayette Haussmann. I don't know if that's how you say it. It is a gorgeous mall. So you go into this mall. It's all very high-end stores that I would never be shopping at. But the mall itself looks almost like church windows. You know, it is stunningly beautiful.
Wow.
Stunningly beautiful. And you can go up to the terrace on the 8th floor, and there's a open outdoor terrace where you can get panoramic views of the city. So we met up with them on top of that terrace in Paris, and it was lovely.
That is so love. What a great way to, first of all, genius meetup point. Second of all, I've never heard of this place. And just, I'm sure this is the result of your husband's massive amount of research, that this was planned way in advance. You weren't just like, let's meet up on the top of that shopping mall over there.
Well, I will say, I have to give credit to a good friend. She went to Paris for the Olympics the year before, and her Christmas card had a gorgeous view of Paris in the background, and it was taken at this spot. Ah. And so she told me, she gave me the heads up, because it's free. It's just an open to the public mall. So you can go up there onto the top of that beautiful viewpoint for free. And we love free things, right?
Oh, we do. We do. Free things are our love language. New merch. That's such a cheapest sweatshirt ever.
They took away our free breakfast.
Free things are our love language. Yes. I would wear that. I would wear that, even though nobody, people would really read into that, I think. But I would wear it.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, day three in France. And actually, we did these, we grouped Paris together. But your day three that you're about to talk about was actually your day two, because you were in Paris and then in Bayeux and then back in Paris. So if someone wanted to, they could easily do it all at one time, 2 days back to back. But we are now going to cover your day in Bayeux. And this place looked stunning. It reminded me of the Cotswolds villages.
Yes.
Like just absolutely storybook, picturesque. I'm so excited to hear about it. I want to go so bad. So how did you get there? How far was it? And just take us through that day.
Yeah, so we rode a train that was similar to almost, well, I guess it's not like a commuter train, but that's what it felt like here in the U.S. If you've ever ridden a commuter train, we rode a train. The train ride over to Bayeux was a couple hours. It could be 3 hours. I really don't remember how long the train ride was. It was not more than 3 hours, I don't think. So we went out there. We spent one night there, and there are not really chain hotels there. So I actually booked through the Cap One travel portal with my credit from my VentureX card, my $300 credit. It did not use up the whole $300. I think it was maybe about $240-ish. But it was at the Chateau de Bellefontaine, and we had a family suite that had two floors. So the master was on the bottom, and then you went upstairs, and there were multiple, like, double bed, queen beds up there. So we had plenty of room for our family of five. And wow. Like I said, it was about $245 or so.
That's
that I completely used my travel credit.
No, for that much space?
Yeah, it had so much space. It was much bigger than a typical hotel room. It had floor-to-ceiling windows, so there were giant curtains that we could close, but it was so charming. There were tennis courts right beside our room. My kids, even though we stayed there after, again, the end of a long touring day, they were out there playing tennis because you cannot slow them down for anything. So we really enjoyed it. The only downfall to that hotel was it did not include free breakfast. I prefer to book us places that have free breakfast, but that's okay because we grabbed some pastries on our way to the train the next morning. But the whole purpose of going there was because I really wanted to go see some of the beaches of Normandy to learn more about D-Day. I have mentioned this before. I'm a June 6th baby, a D-Day baby, so I've always really been fascinated with World War II history and the events of D-Day. So that was a really important, that was maybe the activity in our entire Europe trip that I was the most personally excited about, because I really wanted to spend time in that area.
Yeah, that is such an emotional connection there. And also that's just a very fascinating time of history. A lot of us have members of our family who fought over there and did all kinds of stuff. But this was your most expensive of all of the things that you booked, basically this entire trip, right?
It was. In all of Europe, this was the most expensive activity we did. So we went from Bayeux with OverlordTour.com. Overlord Tour is the name of the company. Now, we booked it through a shopping portal so that we could get some cash back. They have a whole array of Normandy tours where you can go. We went to Omaha Beach. So our tour was a half-day Omaha Beach tour. Another reason we chose this particular company is they would allow a three-year-old to come. Some of them do not want small children. Obviously, this is a somber, more somber tour than a lot of tours that you do, very respectful. So some of them will not allow small children. They did allow for our toddler. She did great. I think she was very tired. And some of the time you are riding in a van out to the site, she fell asleep. So the whole, you know, the guy was talking, telling us all this history, and thankfully she was sound asleep. So that it worked out. It could have gone poorly, I guess. There was another family with us, and I wouldn't have wanted to, you know, cause them to not enjoy their trip. But she did great. We went to the cemetery, the largest of the American cemeteries there, which is actually American soil in France. That land that the cemeteries is on is like given to the U.S. It's technically like U.S. soil, but it's there. I don't know how all that, I don't claim to know how all that works, but so we went to that cemetery. It was just, it was beautiful, and it was a wonderful tribute to those people who gave their lives. It was so interesting to read. There is actually a time capsule there that the president, I've got to go back and look at my own highlights on Instagram. I know I have the information there. A time capsule that was supposed to be opened 100 years later, and that is actually coming up not that far away from now.
Wow.
So it is pretty crazy that that time capsule from way back in the day, I can't remember exactly the year when they put the time capsule there. We've got to go. Everyone go to my highlights if you are at all interested in this, and that information is there for you. But we went on Omaha Beach itself. It's kind of odd because it is a open to the public tourist beach now where people wear bathing suits and there's a lifeguard and people are swimming. It's crazy to think of the events of that day and all the people who died fighting on that beach and now to see what it is today. I mean, it's also in a way, it's like, wow, this is what they were fighting for, right? That people would be able to live freely and enjoy things again in that country. So it was excellent. I highly recommend it. It was for our family of five, $446 total. So that, again, very expensive. But for me, going and seeing that place, you could do it on your own without a tour. The reason we opted for a tour here is we wanted to really get the most we could out of it. And I knew that a tour guide would be telling us stories. He would be pointing out, he or she would be pointing out things and really teaching us what we were looking at, what was happening in that exact spot. And we might not get that if we just do it on our own. We have our three kids running around. We're trying to figure out the history while they're, you know, while wrangling them. I just felt like we would get more out of it with a tour. And we certainly did. Also, if you rented a car and did it yourself, parking seemed like a nightmare, especially at the cemetery. At some of you have more freedom if you have a car to stop at a couple places that we were not able to. But at the same time, the parking is a little intense in all of that area. So especially at the time of year that we were visiting.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned that they provided a car seat for your little one, which I think is really important.
They did. They did. Because we weren't taking any Ubers. We weren't taking – the whole time we were just riding trains and public transportation. So we didn't – this was the only time the entire trip that we felt like we really needed – a car seat. So the car seat they provided, it was very cute because clearly the tour guide was like a young guy who didn't have kids. He had no idea what to do with the car seat. The one that he brought was like for an infant. You know, it was forward-facing, but it was definitely not. Like, she can do like a high back booster. She's a pretty big girl at this point, and it was definitely still for a baby. But we made it work, and it was very sweet that they tried so hard to accommodate her. I'm pretty laid back. I was like, it's fine. It'll work. We booked her in
this. I put my hand across her lap.
Yeah, she'll be all right.
She'll survive. Oh, that's amazing. I want to rewind slightly because we breezed past something here, and I have a question, which is, you said you grabbed stuff on the way to your tour that morning, on the way to the train station. So could you walk from the chateau to the train station, or how did you get back and forth?
We did. It was about, I would say, 0.8 miles, but we decided to walk. Our family's kind of crazy like that. I mean, we walked every single day of this trip. We were walking 20,000 steps or more. We were like, we'll take our time. We'll look around. It was kind of cute. I was rolling my suitcase along this little cobblestone path in France. And I was like, this feels like a movie. You know, we were looking around. Oh, it really was 100%. Fine. We walked there pretty easily. Honestly, the kids, because it was new and interesting and they were looking around, they really weren't even complaining about the distance. So it is doable. Some people might not want to do it. You could catch a little cab or call some kind of transportation to pick you up. But we just walked.
Okay. I love that. So then you took the train over to where you started your tour.
Well, we took the train to Bayeux. We dropped our bags at the hotel. Then we went to the very cute little downtown area, had some lunch there, a lot of little cafes with outdoor seating, cute shops. I could have spent a lot more time in that area. There's also a gorgeous, very large, beautiful cathedral there that we took pictures in front of. We would have loved to tour in that. My husband especially loves to go in the old churches and cathedrals. It was actually preserved through World War II. Our tour guide said that that little town, it really didn't have any military things and it was more for entertainment for soldiers. Mm-hmm. And so it somehow ended up being preserved and really was not bombed or didn't take quite the direct hits that a lot of other areas did. So the cathedral was just stunning and so old, and thankfully made it through World War II unscathed.
Wow, that's amazing. So where ultimately did your tour start? Where did they pick you up from? Did you have to leave Bayeux?
They picked us up in Bayeux, but with their van. So we had a meeting point there near downtown. So we ate, we shopped around a little bit. My husband did take the kids and find a little playground while I went in a couple of the shops without them, which was lovely for 30 minutes or so. And then we met up at the meeting spot for our tour. They took us on the tour, brought us back to that spot, and we were able to walk back to our chateau for the night.
Oh my gosh, beautiful. Well, guys, this wraps up the trip in France. But again, we're going to have to leave you on another cliffhanger because there is more. There's more to this trip.
There is more.
Where are you headed next?
We took the train from France over to Amsterdam, and we spent time in the Netherlands after that. So we will cover that on another day.
Yes, we will. Guys, thank you so much for being here with us today. Make sure you join us in the Facebook groups. Make sure you grab some tickets to come see us in person and see us speak at TravelMoreCon. Follow us on our Instagrams. Leave us a good old rating and review if you've never done that. That really helps the algorithm on the podcasting platforms, and we so appreciate it. And we will see you here next time.
Bye, guys.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new Travel Rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going, so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.